Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, let's head to the phone lines. This might be a short appearance from Josh Briscoe. It really could be. He's been on thin ice these last couple of weeks for very different reasons. Josh, let's go ahead and get this out of the way early. Drums or flats?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Drums narrowly? I don't have a strong opinion. If you need to hang up on me, I get it.
No, that's perfectly fine. This has been my opinion on this. Is I don't know why we spend so much time debating this. It's like, is a hot dog a sandwich? I don't care. Just give me a good hot dog, and I don't really care what classification you would put it in. I think a hot dog is its own entity. I like flats more than I like drums, but it's chicken. As long as it's cooked well and well-seasoned, I don't really care what part of the bird you give me. I'm going to eat it.
I know you have such a strong three strikes in your out policy, so when you ask that question, my life and really my childhood flashed in front of my eyes, because I've always enjoyed a good, like, a turkey leg, even the drumstick off a rotisserie chicken. Like, that was always just, it was good to feel like a caveman eating your lunch, you know? And so I still lean drums given the opportunity with wings, but I really do not have that strong of an opinion. I think I've moved in the direction of the flats as I have put away my childish things. But I'm with you. That is not a debate worth wasting our breath over, by and large. I can certainly meet you there.
Okay, so this is the last question, then we'll get to the Chiefs, because you cover the Chiefs of Sports Illustrated. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Denzel Washington was on the Today Show earlier today and said that he is winding down his career. He's only got a handful of movies left, and he's going to step aside, but he is going to be in the next Black Panther movie. I ask you, what is your favorite Denzel Washington movie?
Gladiator 2.
How can that be your favorite movie? You've never seen it.
It's going to be good.
You already have that number one on your list, even though you haven't. That's your favorite Denzel movie. You've never seen it.
Remember the Titans.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. The most standard
that's not,
one.
That's not even true. That's definitely not true. What I hate now is I'm trying to figure out if there was a definite answer that I should have had. In the best case, the best thing I could do, I think, was just jab you. Just jab, jab, jab. Gladiator 2, Gladiator 2, Gladiator 2, Equalizer 3.
Okay, all right. I was definitely going to challenge you there. All right, let's get to this. Maybe this is the big picture. Maybe it's too big of an answer here and you can't remember. What's your favorite regular season Chiefs win? I remember when I was a kid, I think they were playing the Chargers. Maybe I'm off just a little bit here. And Dick Vermeil made, I think as with the Raiders actually, now going back. And Dick Vermeil made the decision to go for it late in the game, and they did an over-the-top with Larry Johnson. I was at that game. It was a great regular season win. Like, when Mahomes' career is over and we start to make lists of all the, hey, this was the 10 greatest games that Mahomes played in, from a regular season perspective, that's going to be near the top of the list. That's a pretty improbable win for them to essentially block an extra point to win.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly will be one of the most memorable. I don't know if it will be anyone's favorite or the most fun or the most impressive from Mahomes or any of that. The Mahomes one that stands out to me is very easy for me because it's the only Mahomes game I've seen in person. But it was the 49ers game, his first home game as a starter, I think. It was week three, so maybe it was second. I can't remember exactly. But he did the first sort of now like vintage Mahomes little run backwards, loop around, come around and fire an absolute dart to, I believe, Chris Conley in the back of the end zone. I remember the noise that Therese Paylor made in the press box that day in reaction to that moment. So that's my Mahomes one as my, like, individual one of one. But that's, again, that for me is because I got to be there in person and to see Mahomes do that. Really felt like it was kicking off something of what the Mahomes era was going to look like. Within the last, like, several years, you almost have to go pre-first Super Bowl, I think, for them to feel like they mattered as much, because obviously all the postseason success has totally changed the scale for what a meaningful game is for this team.
I mean, they've had four games like this season where we talked about this yesterday on the show. I mean, I think the only team that we followed over the course of the last 30 years that went all four of those games were the Chiefs. So whether it was the week one game against the Baltimore Ravens, week two against the Cincinnati Bengals, where they get the penalty on fourth down, they then go down the field and score. Last week against Tampa Bay, where they went in overtime, and this past week against the Denver Broncos, like, they've had four of those shoulda, coulda, woulda games, but the difference between the great teams and the good teams are you find a way to win. We watched Sunday Night Football. There's no reason that the Lions should have won that game. You don't throw five interceptions on the road and then beat a playoff team the way that they did. You also don't win some of the games the way that the Chiefs have unless you were just a special team.
Yeah, and this is something I talked about last night during my show there, that there is always this kind of, like, two faces of the coin for me of this idea of finding a way to win, because that idea and that statement's very ethereal. That's very vibes-based, right? But then you have the concrete side on the other side of preparation and talent and execution. And when you flip that coin, you have to be just as confident in both elements. The concrete thing, like with the blocked extra point, they saw that on film. They knew they could bowl the guard over. Teams have been doing it. The Chiefs did it. And then Leo Chanel does it in the biggest moment. But also, Derek Nnadi pulls his guy down. George Karlaftis wins. Justin Reed gets a great jump off the edge, and it freaks out the tackle there as well. They totally defeat that side of the line. The Broncos put it on the correct hash mark for them to do that against. That's preparation, that's execution, that's talent, and that's confidence in your players. So that's the concrete stuff. The vibey ethereal thing is that I think if you're a Chiefs player, you have to go out there for that final kick, lose, like in a position where you're winning there, but if this kick goes through, the game is over. You have to have in your head at that point, if you're Leo Chanel or any of those guys, we're the Kansas City bleeping Chiefs. We definitely can block this kick. I think I'm going to block this kick. There is a level of confidence that this team has earned by being back-to-back champions, not just all the fluky or, you know, the by a toenail types of wins in the regular season. They've earned this confidence of, yeah, well, when it comes down to crunch time, we're going to be the team that comes out. And then they put in the work throughout the Monday through Saturday on that to be able to execute it. Like, sometimes it feels almost hacky to me to say, like, oh, you know, they find a way to win because they're a special team. Well, they do, and they are. And it's not just something that feels that way. You have evidence to be able to track that they are producing games like this, winning games like this, because that's who they are, and these are the types of games that they're comfortable in, that they win seemingly constantly. It's a perfect little conversation to have around the dynasty of this era and trying to figure out how they can be so special, especially when they're trailing or on third downs or any of those other clutch moments.
That's why I hate the conversation about the referees, and I get it. We all do this. As a Missouri fan, I poke fun at Kansas because they always get the home whistle. We did this against the New England Patriots, how you could never touch Tom Brady. Like, this comes with being the best and just being better than everybody else, but it feels like the referee conversation sort of undermines their greatness, and they just execute better than you. The Chiefs did not win on Sunday because of a call that happened in the second quarter. No, the Broncos didn't score in the second half of the game. The Broncos had less than 50 yards from scrimmage in the second half of that game. And when you have essentially an extra point is 33 yards, you're at a 35-yard kick to win the game, and you get it blocked, I don't want to hear any conversation about the officials. You weren't good enough to win this game. Try again next week.
No, I'm with you across the board there. Not only does that refereeing discussion, in air quotes there, undermine the Chiefs' greatness, it's kind of cruel that the Chiefs' greatness enables that conversation, because with every single team in sports gets breaks from the referees sometimes. It's a hard job. They make mistakes. So sometimes you have it in your favor. Sometimes you have it go against you. But when you are a team, as we just covered, that constantly makes the most of the moments that they have, when they constantly do seem comfortable down to the wire, when you get one extra gasp of air because the refereeing crew missed a call that ended up benefiting your team, no team is more likely to capitalize on that than the Kansas City Chiefs, because they capitalize on more of those moments in more of those situations, those memorable late game situations in particular. They capitalize on those without any help from the refereeing better than anybody else. So when you do get that sort of cynical glimmer of light of, oh, well, the refs bailed them out. What seems to always happen, no one ever talks about this, but when the Chiefs get, quote, bailed out by the refs, and then the Chiefs have the football in their hands still, then they do the thing that wins the game. Very rarely does the game end on an objective call from a referee, but when the Chiefs take advantage of that, nobody talks about the Chiefs taking advantage of that opportunity. They talk about how they got another opportunity that they always seem to go on to maximize. Again, it's all so intertwined, and the sooner the NFL world leaves the refereeing conversation behind, happened. I think the Sooner we'll all be happier and more appreciative of what we're seeing.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for Sports Illustrated. Let me ask you one AFC question, and we'll start the transition to this week's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. I think the Broncos are going to make the postseason. If you look at it right now, I would say there are five locks to make the postseason in the AFC. I also think the Chargers are more than likely going to make it too. We're talking about a team that is 6-3, and I think that 9 wins is going to be enough. I just can't see what their coaching and their quarterback and schedule. I just don't see a scenario in which Los Angeles only wins 2 games the rest of the season. I think they're going to make the postseason. So that leaves to me, you have Denver, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati that are probably fighting for that 7 spot. Which of those 3 teams do you think is making the postseason out of the Broncos, Colts, or Bengals?
I think that the best team and the scariest team is clearly the Bengals. I think the Broncos might be in a healthier position to actually make that happen, which is crazy considering all of the factors and all the names I won't waste your time by naming on the Bengals that we're well acquainted with. But the Broncos having seemingly, and obviously this wasn't the case 2 weeks ago, but was the case on Sunday, the Broncos seeming to have a pretty high ceiling and a pretty high floor on that defense, and then being able to do enough against most opposing defenses, it makes me feel like they are the like quintessential 7 seed who sneaks in and then gets the doors blown off of them by Buffalo or Baltimore in the first round, whoever, or I guess maybe Pittsburgh. I got to start respecting Pittsburgh in that hunt at least, even though I don't think they're on the same level as obviously the Chiefs, Buffalo, Baltimore, and then maybe we could argue about Pittsburgh and Houston the way that the Texans have sort of slipped up. But I think the scariest team there is the Bengals. I think the Broncos might have the best path. I'm so out on the Colts. They threw their own season into the dumpster, and they have no one to blame but themselves for how they've handled all of that. So I don't want to hear about the Colts until Anthony Richardson's playing quarterback again.
Are you burying Miami, or do you think there's a chance they get into it?
3-6 is so tough.
I agreed.
I haven't looked at the rest of their schedule, so I don't know exactly how many games they have against the Jets and Patriots the rest of the way. Like, that might be a little bit of a perk if they've still got, I think, a couple of those still coming. Yeah, they get each of those. Actually, they get the Jets twice and the Patriots one more time. So their schedule might play nice there to some extent. But right now, I think it's probably just one team out of the East.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here for a couple more minutes, just getting his thoughts on the Chiefs as we're starting to transition towards the Buffalo Bills game. All right, both of these guys are starting to practice this week between Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Aminihu. Who do you think is more important in the second half of the season? Do you think it's Pacheco or Aminihu?
I think, now this, there's a big asterisk here, but I think it's Charles Aminihu if he looks anything like Charles Aminihu. The version of him that we were seeing throughout the playoffs last year, and especially with the way that this defensive end rotation has gotten more depth and some kind of interesting, small sample sizes from guys like Felix and Udike Uzomah. The way that rotation could come together, where Felix becomes the 5th defensive end in the rotation, I think, behind Karlaftis, Aminihu, Dana, and Uche, that group is pretty spicy. And again, if it looks like Charles Aminihu, he might be the best pure edge rusher on this team, not including Chris Jones. Again, you know, pure edge rusher. So if he looks like Aminihu, it's him, and I think he becomes one of the 5 most important players on that defense. The concern, of course, is that he tore his ACL in January, and an ACL recovery, getting back to the field, is only even part of it. So my hesitance there is that in the first few weeks, he doesn't really look like himself. It's going to be a little bit harder to project sort of the optimism that I have there now. Pacheco, I feel great about, because he can just come in and try to help Kareem Hunt just survive to the end of this season. And then having both of those guys in the playoffs, also a legitimate gain. But the potential of Charles Aminihu playing like himself and looking like himself, I think, is legitimately huge for a defense that's already excellent.
Let me ask you that same question now with Aminihu and Juju Smith-Schuster. Who do you think is more important to get back and get healthy and get right? Do you think it's the DN or the wide receiver?
I'll give it to Aminihu again. I think he's a more special player at this point in his career. I think what he could do for the Chiefs defense is a little bit more advantageous to what Juju can do for the offense. But I do think if you do get Juju back out there, maybe you start to see a little bit of a throttling down for Xavier Worthy and a little bit for Justin Watson. Not that Watson and Smith-Schuster play a lot of the same snaps, but maybe you can begin to kind of recalibrate around your absolutely ancient receiving core of DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce at the middle of it. But I think Aminihu, if I got to wave a magic wand that have one injured player on this team, not named Hollywood Brown or Rashee Rice. I'll step away from them. After those two receivers, if I get to magically heal any player to 100% on the Chiefs injury report, it's Charles Aminihu.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here. Josh, I imagine that this is mind-blowing to you. Can you imagine if I had told 16-year-old you, hey, coming up in about 20 years or so, the Chiefs are going to be the Patriots, and they're going to have their version of the Colts. Like, you and I are around the same age. We grew up in the same era of the NFL. You knew every year, it felt like for a decade, that the Patriots and Colts were going to play each other, or the Patriots and Broncos were going to play each other. They were always going to be big nationally televised games. And for the most part, they were going to determine who ended up representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. And that is basically what we have now here. Like, you can't really have a much more important regular season game between two teams and what we're talking about here. If Kansas City wins this game, they go up 4 against Buffalo, and there's just not enough time for Buffalo to come back, I think, and get the one seed. If the Chiefs lose this game, you're only one up with, what, 6-7 weeks to go? It is still very possible, even with the undefeated start, everything the Chiefs have done is so great. They can lose the one seed if they lose on Sunday. Again, I can't think of a game that has more regular season implications. And this is just how it was when you and I were coming up with the Patriots and the Colts.
It's really remarkable. I remember with like genuine clarity having conversations with one of my friends when we were both 13 and having the conversation of, do you think the Chiefs will ever win a Super Bowl before we die? That was a real conversation. And honest to God, we both agreed that the answer was no. Like, that was not even a thing worth expecting or hoping for. They didn't win a playoff game for the first 20 years or so, 18 years of my life. I mean, it was an absolute, like, beyond afterthought. You felt foolish for thinking about the best case scenario with this organization. And so being here now, I'm glad that you mentioned it. And I feel like we should always have some responsibility to continue to underline that fact. Cause I don't know a single Chiefs fan over the age of, I don't know, 8 now, maybe, who ever thought that this would be a future that we ever had in the cards. To the point of this game, you're right. It means more for Buffalo because the Chiefs can end it here. And obviously that's, you know, meaningful for Kansas City as well. But The Bills' chance, and it's a regular season game, and this is always going to have a little bit of a cloud over it, like the Niners game was not a Super Bowl rematch, right? It was a regular season game. But the Bills have such a distinct relationship with this team, like you just reflected on, of knowing who the villain was going to be, knowing who their boogeyman was going to be. And in this instance, they haven't even gotten the success of the Peyton Manning Colts, where they actually have made it to a Super Bowl, where they have actually won one, where they have gotten over on this Chiefs team yet. So they can't exercise those demons on Sunday. But if all of a sudden it's 9-1 versus 8-2, or I guess 9-2, I can't remember when the Bills' bye was scheduled, but if it's one, yeah, they'd be 9-2. If it's one loss separating the two of them there, and the Bills feel like, obviously having the tiebreaker, the Bills feel like they're closing the gap, and now all of a sudden all those narratives about the Chiefs maybe not being a legit 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, 9-0 that's followed them every week, a little bit of those cracks will begin to show. And some of those cracks will just be had in like national media conversations that aren't going to permeate the Chiefs locker room. But I think this game means a lot to the Bills. I hope it means a lot to the Chiefs, because being able to look down to the rest of the schedule and even seeing those games against the Texans and Steelers and say, we're not stressed about where that's going to put us in the AFC, because we have the tiebreaker over all of the top contenders, with that Christmas game against the Steelers being the one.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Left pending, it would be a hell of a way to a mindset to have for the second half of the season. It'd really be incredible.
Last question here. You and I, again, are around the same age, so we remember Raider Hater Week and how big the games were against the Broncos. Do you think the Bills are now their rival?
Ooh, yeah, I think probably so. Yeah, I was thinking also when you asked about the best regular season games ever, Jamaal Charles catching 4 touchdowns is very high up there. I think for the Chiefs, well, you know what? I'm actually going to amend that. I'll say no. I think it's the Bengals still, because the Bengals do have one playoff success over this team, and those teams hate each other. That's legitimate. I think the Chiefs and Bills respect each other as rivals, maybe in that Brady Manning type of way. I think Chiefs-Bengals is more of the Raider-Hater week that we grew up in so toxically.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show. He has his suspension lifted to the show. Now, Briscoe, let me tell you this, because I don't want you to get too excited. You can always be suspended again. Like, you watch the NBA, Draymond gets suspended, he comes back. That doesn't mean the next time you get a flagrant foul, that doesn't mean that you can just walk scot-free. So you still are walking on thin ice, but you know what? You had a great appearance on the show. I'm happy you were on the show this week. I don't want to have to take your privileges away again, sir.
If I am the Draymond Green of this show, that is a role I can live with.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show. He does fantastic work with Sports Illustrated.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.